risers, fallers, who's gonna be ballers?
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long. With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 188. We are post-draft. We've got it all done. We told you we'd be back. Get this out for you Friday morning on time. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero.
Not bad. You ever watch Dave when the intro is playing? He gets really fired up once his name comes up. Like, I think he really enjoys that.
Do I have to answer drop. That truthfully?
Yeah, like he gets a little fired up. He even gets fired up on when your name and my name is mentioned, but he gets
I don't watch you, Dave. I'll try next time. The thing is, Dave, if I watched you really close, I'd get a complex when I'm talking.
You'd stutter over the intro. Yeah, no, that's I love our intro. That was part of my favorite thing was to lay that in there when we were doing the rookie profiles. So yeah, I love the intro.
And also with FF underscore spaceman.
Boom, boom. Back on planet Earth, guys. We went to outer space for the draft. We're back.
Man, I really enjoyed the draft. A lot of people kind of complaining about the draft. And I think us here just kind of talking about some of these players a long time. We'll just say a long time. I think we already had kind of lower expectations than we did for the last couple draft crops. So for me, like some of the landing spots did affect a little bit here. I'm curious if it did for you. And that's kind of what this is going to be about. The quarterbacks, I'm curious how you guys feel about the quarterbacks. If you have anybody that rose up, anybody that fell, or if you kind of feel the same about them. Dave, how are you feeling about this?
Well, if we're talking quarterbacks, the biggest takeaway I had was Justin Fields. I loved Justin Fields going in. I still view the top three quarterbacks of Lance, Fields, and Lawrence as a tier unto themselves at the quarterback position. But Carolina passing on him with Matt Rule and Joe Brady fresh out of college is just messing me a little bit. And I don't think a 2021 sixth round pick, a 2022 second, and a 2022 fourth is enough of a reason not to draft Justin Fields. I don't think Darnold is enough of a reason for Carolina to pass on Fields. Don't have a lot of respect for Denver overall as an organization with Vic Fangio, but they also pass on him. That just is getting to me because, man, Fields in Denver would have been amazing. And I still like him in Chicago. It's just that's bothering me. So I'm just not quite. I think it's a great prospect and everything, but he's definitely my 103 now instead of my 102, maybe my 102, 103. So he's definitely locked in to that third quarterback at least.
Yeah, Denver seems especially surprising to me of the ones you talked about. But so did you had him locked in? I feel like you kind of had him locked in before that. Did the quarterbacks kind of just stick for you?
Well, Justin Fields, I mean, he was my 102, 103, and now he's locked into that third spot.
Gotcha.
But actually, Mac Jones actually fell for me. Him not getting that three to San Francisco or top 10 with Carolina, with Denver in the top 10, also, that bothered me for Mac Jones. And I was on a couple appearances. I said, I'm not letting Mac Jones slip by 107, 108 in Superflex drafts, and now I'm actually letting him slip a little bit in those spots. So that was probably my biggest takeaway.
Fanero, what about you?
Mac Jones.
I mentioned this when we were on HQ Swags, and a couple people agreed with me, which was that unlike the running back and wide receiver positions, I think the quarterbacks landed just in perfect places for each one of their skill sets. And for me, the Mac Jones, I guess, hate makes me like him a little more, to be honest, because I feel like he's going to drop. And I like the landing spot again for him with all these quarterbacks. So, you know, much like Dave, I think the three are locked in. I think that's kind of consensus now that the draft is over. And then there's a drop and then there's another drop. And I think that the Mac Jones drop is late enough where it makes me like him a little more, if that makes sense. So, yeah. And I think the wide receiver and running back groups had a lot of landing spots that really kind of shook with what I thought going in. And I know that our reactions from last week, we could hear the grunts and the moans. You know, you have your Bateman, your Rondell Moore, even your Elijah Moore. I was hoping he would end up in a better spot. I don't hate where he is. I don't hate where some of these guys are, but I just had a better vision. Like Miami, Arizona, the Jets, Atlanta, not getting a running back and, you know, in the second or third round. I mean, those were like prime spots. I know we have vets that are looking real nice there now, but yeah. So for me, the quarterbacks, I feel like there's a chance that there's a better hit rate just because of where they landed. I know we keep saying they can't all hit, and I still believe that we have to have a bust in one of those five. I just have a harder time finding it now.
Yeah, I hear you. You have to agree too. And I talked to you guys a little bit about that one draft I was in where I decided to go Harris at 102 because of the picks I had. And then Justin Fields fell to 106. So I took him there. And then I'm panicking to you guys at 108 because I'm like, Zach Wilson's here. Like, what the hell's going on? This wasn't part of my plan. And then Fanero's just kind of like, oh, well, no, but your plan was different than this. Like, your plan was like top five. So why are you even asking this? Like, you know what to do. Like, he, even though you didn't think he was going to be there, this is still part of your plan. Like, that's almost crazy that he was falling to 108 in that draft. And that even leaves out Mac Jones, the yeah. fifth one, you know, with yeah. what you said. Like, I like that landing spot.
Yeah.
Maybe not like as certain as right away, but all of these guys seem like they landed in a situation where they will have decent opportunities.
Decent opportunities, and just the match between coach and scheme and even talent on the field. I mean, you know, Justin Jefferson, the reason, and I know Swags, you were an early person on Justin Jefferson. I know you were saying in redraft, but that's kind of the point. You were saying year one, I really like Justin Jefferson. And he was just in the best situation last year.
Mm-hmm.
He just was. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was in probably the best. But even then, that obviously was derailed because of Dak. And then, but even then, what I was going to say is like there was still target competition, right? Where Justin Jefferson, I know you weren't a big Thielen guy, so you liked Justin Jefferson that much more.
He still exceeded expectations, though.
Right. But I mean, that's legit, right? Mm-hmm. All the team situation, the scheme that they're going to be running in, the comfortability with that. I just feel like these five guys just really just landed in magical spots for each of them. And you jumble that up even a little bit, and I feel differently. I really think that went well for them.
So before we move on from the quarterbacks, Fanero, I'm just going to stick with you first on this, and then we'll go to Dave. How would you feel about Davis Mills and some of like Kyle Trask, some of those guys? Did anything change there for you?
Yeah, so Mills and it's for me was the biggest mover in those three guys. Trask going where he went, but Mills has the chance to have an early opportunity depending on what's going with Watson. So he was like probably the biggest mover for me, and I see that in mocks too. I definitely see a big switch. Trask used to be the first one off every single time, and that's just not happening as much anymore. So he's moving on other people's boards too.
Dave, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm just not a big secondary quarterback guy, so it doesn't move the needle at all. I mean, I was happy to see that Mills, who I did have see, I heard a lot on Schofield's big on Mills, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And that always is in my head. Oh, this is a Schofield guy, get some decent landing spot. Oh, that's intriguing. I put that away in the back of my mind. But Trask landing with Brady doesn't really move the needle for me. I don't even remember where freaking Mond went, honestly, off the top of my head. So. It's just
to the secondary, to the Vikings.
Yeah. So, the way I look at these
contract issues for Kirk Cousins,
I mean, he's got 2 years of guaranteed money. He's 2 years fully guaranteed. So
yeah, a lot too, now that you mention it.
So it's just, I know that there's been always these secondary QBs that there's always one in a long time to hit. I just don't play Superflex Dynasty by investing in these late quarterbacks. I used to, and I just never hit on one. And I just have, I'll let other people take swings on it, and I'll move to other spots. So they don't move for me at all.
I agree with you when it gets to like the fourth round, but second round QBs. And then in this particular draft where honestly, man, there's cliffs in that late second, early third, just cliffs. There's just no one I'm even remotely interested in. They're like, they feel like fourth round guys. That's what I'm grabbing those secondary quarterbacks. I mean, it's almost a race to them. You can see the hard line.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, Finero. I thought it was going to be able to get them like that 302-ish area, but you can't. If you want them, you have to go like 208 to 210. They start going. Once one goes, the other two are going. No matter what order they go, once one goes, that everybody's like, oh, man, I thought I could wait. So, I mean, literally, yeah, I took them. I think it was 208 and 210. I took two of them, and I started with Trask because of ADP, and then I took Davis Mills. And I think Davis Mills has a chance to start this year, and he should slowly be on people's radars. Because I agree with you, Finero. You get to this point after, like, pick 18 or 19, unless one of your guys falls to you, that you're kind of just like, meh. Like, I guess I could get my guy here and hope he hits, because we've been talking about these guys for so long. But dude, I agree, man. Between the landing spots and really looking at this talent so long, it starts to kind of dry out to where I'd almost rather just shoot for that upside, even if it's unperceived in this moment, and hope that something happens where I get a value tick. And because, I mean, even if Tom Brady gets injured, worst case, Kyle Trask is the quarterback, maybe forever.
There's seven wide receivers and then a steep cliff, just like literally the cliff after the seven wide receivers. And it's because it's top heavy. It's not because the other wide receivers can't hit. It's just the drop off talent wise and situation wise is just really great. Then you have your three running backs. We're gonna make two more running backs fit into that group. And when I say make, I still feel a little dirty about him. I know I do. I feel dirty even about Trey Sermon. I know we're going to get to him because I think he's probably the biggest mover in this draft. And then there's a tight end or two.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're done. You know, like I'm kind of out. Like I would love to be as proactive as you were coming in and trying to position those late picks and just get up there early, because it's getting kind of disgusting. To be honest, I've had four rookie drafts right now, and I can't remember being this uninterested this early. Like, I always remember getting excited about those third and fourth round picks.
Dude, I know what you mean. You can find somebody you can kind of talk yourself into or create certain narrative for, but you're still just kind of like, meh.
Nah.
Dave, did you have anything else you want to say about the quarterbacks, or you guys want to just go to the wide receivers?
I would just add, I have that same feeling where I don't even want to take swings on some of these guys. I'd rather re-roll for 22 capital. Like I honestly would want that 2022 second round pick next to my name instead of a Kyle Trask next to my name as an asset on my team. And that, like, just for trade, especially it can be flexibility in season to make moves. That 2022nd, I feel like it's going to be a lot more attractive to people. Unless, you know, like you said, unless Brady gets hurt or something around those lines, but Kyle Trask doesn't see a snap. He's not even, you know, a whisper of doing anything good in camp or in practice. That 2022nd could be a lot more attractive to people in trade negotiations, stuff along those lines.
Davis Mills starts.
Right. And I guess I'm just a tie rod guy too. So I'm like, how?
Then you can make that late second, early third into a first in season.
100% guys, that 100%, I'm not disagreeing with you. That's just, look at these players who have done it, like the Jake Luton's, the Indy quarterback or the Indy backup quarterback last year. They just don't, a lot of times they just don't get that. Now, second round guys are a little different, like Finero said, but man, it's just, to me, you look at the hit rates historically and it just doesn't do it for me.
I hear you. I mean, I have way too many Fromms. What the hell am I doing with Fromm?
Here's my problem, though. Problem. Because you mentioned the historical hit rates, which are a real thing. I'm not trying to get away from that. But they don't change next year.
What do you mean by that?
They're still going to be the same historical hit rates next year. So how many years do you just continue to move your picks forward? And while you're looking at the historical hit rates, the hit rates are still the same in 2022 and 2023 and 2024. Why not, like, see if you can hit on some of the guys in the class we're in? You prosper. If you don't, like, I can find a 2022 second somehow. I'm confident of that. And that 22 second isn't going to put points or money in my pocket.
I meant more as quarterbacks. I wasn't saying like I'll take, you know, I'm going to take my other players like that, you know, like wide running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. But just for you in particular with quarterbacks, I'd rather get that second, because it does translate to points where I need an in-season move. and I want to go acquire someone to help me win now, sometimes those, we've seen AJ Brown take dips early in his season. Like, we've seen players consistently lose value early on in rookie drafts when they don't see the field. Now, I know, especially you guys on Rookie Fever preach all the time, guys, beware of that early season drop when they're not getting, like, buy that early season drop for rookies. I'm not saying it's how it should be, but people get impatient very quickly with their rookies, especially at the hype that surrounds them. So that's kind of
this year they're getting impatient during the rookie draft.
Yep.
Yeah, but just for more picks, like, I'm all for, like, going to 2022 and get more picks, but I'm not just giving you a second for a second. I'm still the guy that wants extra next year if I'm giving you something in this year's class. But this year I can give you a third to get a third. I can give you a random third, make my team better, and you're happy just to get my late third next year. That, and I'm not saying you, Dave, honestly. Yeah. I mean, like, that's what's happening in my rookie drafts. People are trading, like, thirds for thirds straight up, like a 306 going for a random 2022 just because people want out. To me, that's just not my style. You want to give me a little bit extra or even a fourth or fifth or add on to the third that you're giving me next year? I get it, but I'm just not, like, going to give you a chance to hit this year just so I can have another shot next year. I want something else. And this year you don't have to. It's crazy to me. I'm just not on board with that complete total philosophy. I don't know. I get it though, man.
Yeah. And I'll say in thirds, I'm willing to reroll on thirds than seconds. Like, I want extra on my seconds. Like, if I'm giving up second, yep. I want extra my, but thirds, it's more like, God, I can pick a name out of a hat, feels like, sometimes in these third rounds. So that's just kind of, I 100% agree, though. You want, especially in those early, those late seconds, you should get a little extra than just a second.
So, Brevin Jordan or a 2022 third?
I'll take the 2022 third. Jordan is going to be on the list today for me as a faller, big time faller for me.
Fenero, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, this is the time too where between now and the start of the season we need to make cuts. So I'm looking at these third and fourth round guys, and I'm like, I don't even like Tre'Quan Smith anymore. Like, I'm ready to cut bait on Tre'Quan Smith. Tre'Quan Smith, the Saints didn't draft anybody. He's the third wide receiver on that team now. Like, he's more important to me than a third or fourth round pick in this class. I'm not cutting Tre'Quan Smith right now for one of those guys. So now I got a fucking problem. I got to figure out how to get rid of these picks that nobody wants.
Yeah, just move you up know? A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, I just feel like that's it feels this year harder than other years. I feel like it's a top heavy class. Like I mentioned, there's about 16, 17 guys. If you don't include the quarterbacks, thank God for the quarterbacks. This quarterback class is what's going to save this draft. I mean, if you're not in super flex and you're doing a one quarterback draft, you think super flex draft is back? Bad. Try a one quarterback draft.
Yeah.
It's downright
putrid. Some people were kind of joking about that. Like, one quarterback leagues have all five quarterbacks in the top 18. That's how bad it is.
So you're exactly.
Let's
exactly.
talk about some of the wide receivers and any risers or fallers there. I kind of feel like it got to this point where all of my favorite wide receivers went to some of the worst landing spots, and all of the wide receivers that you kind of wanted to be in those spots went to our favorite landing spots where there's going to be an opportunity. But I'm curious to see how you guys feel about this. Any risers and fallers for you from the wide receivers, Dave?
Yeah, Jalen Waddle was a pretty decent riser for me. I had him in like my mid third tier. I mean, my tiers were a little weird because I had like Chase and Rondale. I think I have Chase just firmly as my, just a buy him unto himself as in his own tier. But Waddle, with Talon Wallace falling down and just no other real major like surprise, like, oh wow, this guy got the like some exciting draft capital. Jalen Waddle, I did not think he was going to go seven or six or seven, wherever he went. I didn't think he was going to. And that really surprised me.
Went above in the same position.
Yeah. Yeah. I was shocked he went above Smith. And I know people were saying it. There's a lot of people that, who are telling me like, look, hey, you're too low on Waddle. And you know, I was too low on Waddle. And, now I'm not taking him over. I'm still taking Rondale Moore over him, but he definitely jumped Talon Wallace 100%. He jumped, Dimey Brown for me. I was low on Waddle and I've corrected. I feel like I'm more reasonable now on Waddle.
So for me, Swags, to answer the same question, I have, two tiers before the draft and I have two tiers after the draft. The top three are the same top three and they didn't change the order. But the remaining five, nothing significant. They're all about the same, and I like them all a little less. That's all that really happened. The five are still the five. I think the one, if I had to pick a riser.
What are you looking at there? Where do you have Waddle in your rankings?
Yeah. I'll run them down real quick, but right before I do that, I guess the one that took the biggest jump is Rondale Moore for me. I had him. Yeah, I was lower on him. I want to say that Dave and I had Waddle switched in our pre-draft ranking. So I always had Waddle top three, and Dave clearly didn't. I did not have Moore in my top three. I think Moore was back down towards maybe, I want to say, 5, 6, 7 area. So anyway, my list is Chase number one, Devontae Smith number two, Waddle three, Rondale Moore four. That's where the jump happens. Then I'm going Bateman, and I know you hate that, Swags.
But still five. And, I mean, it's not saying too much.
And these guys are real tight, by the way, this group of five, because they are in a tier for that reason. After that, Marshall. I do really like Marshall's spot. And then Elijah Moore. They're my seven. And it's not even – I don't have anyone – I really feel like there's a decent teardrop after that for me.
So I have
really
Bateman struggle. I have Bateman seven, wide receiver seven.
Yeah, that makes sense for the times you and I have spoken about Lamar Jackson, the pass volume there. I definitely see the argument for it. I did a little bit start to buy into what Shane Manila was saying on HQ the other night about, you know, if you look at Josh Allen, his rookie season, he was in that Lamar Jackson type pass attempts. And then this past season with Diggs, he was like top 10. So that is an astronomical jump. But the problem with that.
But that's going from his first to third season. Like, totally skipping his second year, which was actually pretty good.
Right. And yeah. what I was going to say is he had growth. That's the difference between Lamar Jackson and Allen is Allen literally had growth from year to year in pass volume and efficiency, where Lamar Jackson, if anything, took a step back last year.
Right. And I think with Buffalo, you could see that how they wanted to use their offense, and it wasn't just on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they're two different teams.
Yeah, I agree. So I enjoyed the parallel when I looked deeper into it. I see his point. I see the chance of it. I just don't want to gamble on that chance. It seems like more of a wish than an outcome. Mm-hmm. I think a wish sounds more like it makes sense. Like if Baltimore wants to win more games, they need to be more multidimensional. Like that makes sense. But the problems are the numbers aren't really following Lamar Jackson. His efficiency is not good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you don't see those signs that get you excited about that shift. So I'm just concerned. Now, the only thing that you could say is, and I liked his point about this too, was they don't have wide receivers really. Marquise Brown's the best one, and he's a little bit more, you know, of a deep threat. They really do need someone, actually, a number one. So you bring in this number one, he could become a target hog in an offense, and one guy could do well. And Marquise Brown winds up just being, we've already seen his ceiling. Sure. You can see that. Yeah,
it's a best case. I know that's what you're trying to
create. It is best case.
Yep. And it's just still tough for me. I mean, even the year like 2019, I think Josh Allen had like a 59% passer rating or something like that. Or not rating, but completion percentage. But you watch the film on it and you can see like Josh Allen is smart enough to throw the ball away. He's like getting stuff done. He had no receivers that year. You know, he had a better completion percentage than Aaron Rodgers in 2019. So did Mitch Trubisky. So that's not saying much, but we don't talk about these things. And then he continues to improve. You don't have like film watching Lamar Jackson trying to throw it away consistently to make sure they keep the ball. They run it. That's how the team wants to play the ball. Play the ball, the game. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that. I mean, what are we expecting? Like 40 yards, though, X more? All of a sudden, like the Ravens are going to be passing 300 to 400 yards a game?
I think what it just tells you is, I think part of the thing is, I think comparing Lamar Jackson to Josh Allen, I think that's going to get you in trouble. Because what we've seen from Josh Allen is one of the best career jumps we've ever seen. That's one of his development. Is best case scenario how he's progressed as a passer. He like reworked his entire motion. What he has been able to do as quickly as is astronomical. So great for Josh Allen. And comparing someone to a best possible outcome is a folly. However, Lamar Jackson I think you have to look at some of it as too, is the talent around him. Now, yes, Mark Andrews is a decent player. Marquise Brown, what, you know, he's okay at times, not terribly excited, but to go invest in Talon Wallace in the four, you know, to pick him up, a lot of people like that. They're Ravens are an analytical organization. To pick him up, and also Rashad Bateman is telling you that they acknowledge they did not have the talent at the wide receiver position. So that's telling you that they realize that's a deficiency. And sometimes better coaches, they will scheme to their talent. So I think that's
so how many times do they get to acknowledge that?
What do you mean?
I mean, this is the same stuff like we were saying. We say this about anybody that has any kind of draft capital put in them, including Marquise Brown. Like, these are the same narratives that I feel like I've had to defend for Marquise Brown. So now somebody's new there and everybody's starting to sour on Marquise Brown. I mean, even Marquise Brown, I think, is soured on Lamar Jackson. I truly believe there's a reason that no wide receivers wanted to sign with the Ravens. And I don't think it's because they don't like Lamar Jackson. I don't think it's because they think he's a crappy quarterback. I think it's because of the style of play that team is going to have. I think that's a real thing. I think maybe they want to throw it a little bit more. They should, but I don't think you're going to see this drastic change in that offense.
I agree. I don't think we're going to see a drastic change either. I think we're just going to see a jump. That's all, but not a drastic jump by any means.
I think it helps Lamar.
Definitely helps. Hopefully.
If I'm late to this Bateman party, I mean, I'm going to be late to it, obviously, but I'm fine with that. I would never wish like failure on any of these guys. He's just somebody that I mean, anybody that's listened to me knows how I feel about this situation.
Where do you have him? Where do you have him in your ranks, Bateman? How far down?
In wide receivers?
Yeah.
Like I said, I have him 7.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah,
so no. I have him, I go, and mine's overall, so I have to skip around a little bit. Mine goes Chase, Waddle, Devonta Smith, Rondell Moore, Elijah Moore, Terrace Marshall, and then Bateman.
Man, I don't hate that. Like I told you, my tier two can be jumbled. I literally have a note here. If you want to argue any one of those to hop up to the top underneath Waddle, I'm not even going to. Like even the guy at the bottom, Elijah Moore, I like him a lot. I liked him a lot coming in. And even if you wanted to say, you know, can I move your 7 to your 4? I wouldn't hate it. I really wouldn't, because I just have arguments for everybody in here. And I think that's the whole point I made at the top of the show, is I feel like where the quarterbacks landed, I felt better about each and every one of their situations. And where the wide receivers and running backs landed, I just have more concerns.
Yeah, I think it's just wishful thinking that some people have. That offense is going to suddenly change, and that that offense has done well is part of the problem. Hmm. It just doesn't play the way we want it to, or for our fantasy wide receivers. Big riser for me, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Finero says it better than me, but I love the opportunity that this kid could have in Detroit. I really think he could be 3rd in targets, possibly behind Swift and Hockenson, maybe the number one wide receiver in targets on the team. Runs routes very well. I think he could fit what Goff had a little bit in the past. I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens, and I think he's a fair price. I have him as my wide receiver 8, right under Bateman there.
I think that's exactly, yep, that's exactly where I have him. He's my favorite day 3 wide receiver landing spot.
Yeah. Any other any fallers for you guys, or risers, or anybody else?
Well, I mentioned the biggest riser for me was Trey Sermon. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's getting crazy. So now I'm already, I mean, we're not even 1 week. Well, yeah, I guess today would officially be 1 week from the start of the draft. And I'm already starting to feel vibes the other direction. He's going possibly first round at this point. And I think it's for me, I'm backing out again. It's a crowded, I'm coming up with all the reasons to not like him now, because I think the love has gotten a little out of hand for me. I know everyone's just attaching him. Everyone's just attaching him to Shanahan, and you know, there hasn't been, I can't remember the last time there's been a running back in Shanahan's offense with over 100 carries. Yeah. Well, there you go. It's a long time.
I don't think other ones are that good, though. I think they get overhyped. And here's the thing.
Do you know what Trey Sermon is? Like, you just know
he's good? We don't know, but I think he could go in there and be the most talented running back.
He could, yes.
On that team. And I think they are searching for that. I think that we've seen how that offense can run, and we've seen how they want to run, because we've seen flashes of all 12 of the running backs on that team. There's a reason that none of them put together like consistent years. Mostert's what, 29, 30, that age? I mean, I don't know. I think that I do get it. Finero, the problem is, and I think it's probably the same problem you're having, is he's starting to sneak up into that like late first round area where you thought you would be able to get him like 202 to 204 maybe later. So that I do agree with you on. But dude, I love the landing spot. I'm going to have a lot less of him, to your point, than I thought I would because of where he's going. And that is the point. Like, I'm ready to take Waddle. That's where I'm, you know what I mean? I'm starting to
I'm taking Waddle seven times over. If it's between those two.
But I've seen him go before Waddle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out
so now. I agree with you on
it's
that.
It's only going to get worse.
I agree with you on
this
that.
This is only going to get worse. Like, he's only going to keep going higher. Like, every single person who drafts him at 112 is just going to validate everyone else after that to draft him at 112. I think Waddle, as late as he's going, is also too late. I love that Dave has come around on that, actually.
Dave, before we get too far away from the wide receivers, did you have any more you wanted to mention?
As a riser, Anthony Schwartz has been a name that was, like, just interesting. Like, he's like, oh, he's got some speed.
Fastest guy in the draft.
Decent, you know, some decent production things. Not really a great production profile, but decent. And
good landing spot. I love that landing spot.
Yep, and great draft. See, I actually have it. You guys keep saying landing spot, I have a real hard time differentiating landing spot and draft capital. I approach those as paired because what is draft capital tells me mixed with landing spot is that, one, you've got potential opportunity, but when you pair that with landing spot, it's almost what the team is telling you what kind of opportunity is going to have in that landing spot. Yep. So to get that draft capital compared with the landing spot, I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess I got to stop ignoring him like I was in all my rookie mocks beforehand. And now it's like, okay, third round. Yeah, sure. Maybe definitely. And I will say too, like circling back to Trey Sermon a little bit, I had him in mid third round and that's where I was having him go. Now he's moved up for me big time. Not he'll never sniff the first round for me or even the early second, but he's mid second round in my ranking. So he's moved up.
Oh yeah.
So I will say hats off. I know Swags, but sure. I think he might have mentioned him a lot the most out of
he did. Yep.
So hats off to Swags for that one. But I when he landed it, I was not expecting it. So it was kind of cool he definitely almost doubled in what I thought he was going to be as far as value is concerned.
Swags, in our landing episode where Dave was in Maine, I said the first running back drafted after the top three will be my number four running back. And that was Trey Sermon. Mm. That's exactly what happened. I actually pointed out Trey Sermon could be that guy. So I'm not surprised by it. What I'm surprised by is this skyrocketing. Like he's unattainable for me now. Like I can't have him now. Like that's the problem. Where Dave had him is exactly where we talked about the cliff starting, right? Yeah. Right around that area. Of course I want Trey Sermon there. I'll take Michael Carter there. Give me either one. I'm happy. I can maybe still get Michael Carter there. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I am not getting Trey Sermon. That's why I have to go the other direction. Yeah. That's all I meant by it. I don't dislike Trey Sermon. When the value gets so high, you start thinking about all the negatives. When the value gets really, really high, you're like, well, this is why I don't like him then. Like, I don't like him for these reasons. You start teasing yourself away from the player.
Or somebody takes him and you're just like, oh my gosh, I get XYZ here. How did this guy fall to me here?
Well, yep. In a couple of your drafts, like you just mentioned the Waddle thing. If Waddle falls to me because somebody picked Trey Sermon, I'm throwing a little party.
Yeah.
Throwing a party.
I hear you there.
No effing doubt.
I want to mention one undrafted free agent wide receiver, and then I'll let you guys cut loose into the running backs. And you guys might not like this, but I already
know who it's going to be. But yeah, go for it, man.
I think that this player is somebody that could be a nice late stash in that area that we've mentioned that gets a little bit ugly, like even the fourth round. I'm going to let Dave tell you who this player is, but I think that he landed in a great spot, good size.
Now I'm actually debating it. Last call, I thought you were going to say Tamorian Terry.
You got it.
Okay, there we go. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I love it, man. I'm glad he got picked up, to be honest with you. I'm excited to see that. So I'm excited to watch him. You'll notice I'm falling like huge victim to the amazing guests that I was lucky enough to speak to because I had Felix on for Tamorian Terry and I got with Brandon Lejeune and talked about Trey Sermon. So they're probably in my ear a little bit, but I was totally rooting for Terry. I watched a little bit of film on him, not like those guys do by any means, But man, I really think that he could be a part of that team in maybe a couple years. I don't think you're going to get anything from him this year. He's just a guy in this draft that we're not too excited about. The draft that we're not too excited about, not Terry. And I think just get him late if you have a pick that you can't trade, because he might fall to you at 401 for that pick that nobody wants. And if he's there, just grab him, put him on your team and stash him, put him on a taxi. Don't, no high hopes here for 2021. That's not what I'm saying.
Can I give you a UDFA?
Absolutely. I thought you guys were done with wide receivers. I just wanted to get that in before we went.
This is the perfect segue over to running backs, because my UDFA is a running back.
There you go.
Yeah. So Jarrett Patterson. And I know that Swags is going to be a little interested in that, because he was really looking for somebody to land in Washington.
Yep.
And they snatched him up as soon as the draft was over. He was a huge producer. Now, it was a small conference. I think it's the MAC. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. He's a little smaller, right?
He's a little smaller. This is true. 19 touchdowns 2 years in a row. Came out as a junior, so I love that too. 3,884 yards, 52 touchdowns. I think that he could, this season, that's all I'm saying, this season, become the backup cornerback and backup running back.
Yeah. Yeah,
alongside.
Dude, I don't think that's crazy at all. I love that mention.
There's just nobody there. McKissick, Barber, and Lamar Miller. Come on. Lamar Miller and Barber are trash. They've just been, they, as far as I'm concerned, one or the other won't even be on the team.
Yeah.
And McKissick's McKissick, right? So for me, Jarrett Patterson offers something to complement Antonio Gibson. He's actually a decent wide receiver too, or he has decent hands. I'm sorry. So I feel like you're right. He's a little undersized, but I think he's a nice complimentary back. And he's one of those UDFAs flying under the radar that you can get in the fourth round. So I wanted to mention his name. There's
love
a couple
it.
Other UDFAs.
How do you feel about Elijah Mitchell then with the 49ers? We talked a lot about Trey Sermon. Some people are actually saying that Elijah Mitchell could be the best running back on that team.
I will have some Elijah Mitchell in those late rounds if I have late round picks that I can't get rid of. Yes.
Yeah.
I think I liked him coming in. And if everyone's allowed to get excited about Trey Sermon being in San Francisco, I'm allowed to be excited about Mitchell.
We will allow it.
Because you can get excited about your 112 or 202, and I'll get excited about my 411 on the same offense. How about that? I'll take those.
As we try to stick to Swag's rookie resolution of no second-round running backs.
Yeah. Carter's definitely a second-rounder now.
Dave's got something to say.
Oh, yeah. Elijah, I'm still like, I've actually really struggled with this third and fourth round of my, I feel like there's a lot to sift through, and I'm trying to, there's like the Ramondre Stevenson, Elijah Mitchell, there's like that kind of group of running backs for me, and Elijah Mitchell is someone that I definitely think can beat out Trey Sermon. I think I would rather have had before the draft have had Elijah Mitchell, which I think would have been a little bit hot takey, but I really like Elijah Mitchell as an overall player, and I'm not really a big narrative guy, but this feels like Tevin Coleman, Devonta Freeman situation all over again. But then you throw in three other aging running backs into that mix as well. But that's just something that reminds me that, yeah, it reminds me that there's going to be two guys and they're going to both. Yeah. Trey Sermon's going to get the first opportunity. But hey, if Elijah Mitchell can, there is opportunity for him to carve out a role if he's going to get a chance in training camp to show off his skills. And it'll be interesting to see if he can do it. If he doesn't, okay, whatever. But He's a name where I think don't write him off. Do not write him off in that backfield.
We don't even mention Jeff Wilson. I mean, he showed up pretty nice last year when the time came. I mean, does he get his shot this season? I feel like we're not talking about him enough. I know we're willing to just throw Mostert out the door because he's older. Like, just, I don't think that's true this season either. But he does have a hard time staying healthy. And I think Wilson really showed up, and I feel like not enough people are talking about him. I know it's rookie fever, but, you know, since we're all over the freaking San Francisco backfield, going all the way down to Elijah Mitchell in the sixth, was that the sixth round pick?
Yep, sixth round.
I think Wilson's got to be thrown into that mix. He's younger. He showed up. I don't know. I think he's going to have a little play this season.
Is Jermichael Hasty still on that team too? Like, you know, there's so many names.
Well, that's why people like this backfield, right? And that's why. The negative is starting to roll back on me. It's like, I think the Shanahan system is to use a bunch of guys. You know, I think we all want Trey Sermon to be the bell cow there. I don't see.
I think he's
certainly
searching for a guy, man. I think he's searching for a guy.
That's what everyone's hoping, but I think that's best case. I mean, the whole NFL is turning to multiple guys. It's not like it's a new thing.
Yeah, but they have good ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that team, that's a good team, man. If they can get somebody good on the field, all of those guys have just done meh at separate times within the season. None of them have put anything consistent together for stretches. There's never been a strong sell window for any of them because they either go away or get hurt. Like, it's just been meh to me. Like, I'm not that excited. I don't own any of those guys.
I own too many of those guys.
So, and I think that they've just, and that's what I'm excited about, is remembering how many times we've gotten excited about one of them. And this, imagining if we did have one or two guys in that role instead of four. And that's exciting to me. So I'm all in on that narrative. I'm with you. First round's too early. Like, I like him the same range you like him in. But I love the narrative, and I do, you know what I mean? So we mostly agree.
I agree. We do. I think you, your narrative is what's kind of fueling the ADP right now.
Yeah.
Right. And my narrative is reactionary. It wasn't my original narrative. I'm just coming so far off of it because he's just so pricey. It's just like I walked into a car dealership expecting to pay a certain amount, but because demand is so high now, I get no deal, I get no offer, I get no good financing rate, I get nothing. I just get the car at the regular price or higher than it even started at. Like, I don't want it higher than it started at. 2 months ago, it was this much. It's like
buying
a
brand new car and driving it off the lot. You're kind of just like,
with
whoa.
No incentives, no good offer. Like, it's just yeah. It's kind of like, oh, I feel like you kind of, you know, got one over
no
on me.
No warranty
now. Like,
or
I don't
anything.
Really. Yeah. Plus, it's still a car. I don't know how well it's going to perform. Every car's different.
Where do you guys have ETN and Williams?
ETN's still my two. I know you don't want to hear it, but he is.
No, I want to hear it. What about you, Dave?
Yeah. I think he's my one.
Oh, damn.
I think he's my one. I think his skill set with his speed and what he can do in space and the way that whatever that coach's name, who's it, Urban Meyer, the way his spread offense works is he wants to get his running backs out in space like that. And they want to run out of the shotgun. That's what ETN excels at. And I guess I'm just not a big, I'm Najee Harris. I like Najee Harris. I just think that I don't ever envision Najee Harris as a top five running back in Dynasty. I just don't think he has that ceiling. I think he can definitely be a top 12 running back, no problem. Great, great player. But I think ETN, his ability to catch the ball, not that Najee doesn't, but his ability to catch the ball and his explosiveness to really take advantage of space in that offense is he just can hit like Kamara hits. I don't think he's Kamara level. I just think he could win that way. And I don't think Najee, thanks Finero for that again, by the way. He's not Le'Veon Bell. I don't think he'll ever
Thank
be
you.
The top five player.
Actually, so that we talked about narratives before, and Harris is still clearly he's in my rankings, he's a tier above. So he's his own tier. So I'm gonna say that before I start saying why it's okay to maybe not love Harris as much as everybody does. That O-line sucks. It's not the same O-line Le'Veon Bell ran behind. And I think it was like the last two. I think it was like 31 ranked against run blocking. He's walking into a bad situation with a quarterback that's going to be there for one more year, which there's no plan afterward unless you consider that Mason Rudolph. It's not as like – I think people have like this rubber stamp Le'Veon Bell mark as much as they have this annoying rubber stamp Kamara mark for ETN. And I do think that there's going to be a little bit of we're going to get smacked in the face with it early in the season. That Harris, remember how the community felt about Taylor and his rough start? Taylor was handed the keys. Marlon Mack is gone. Taylor, oh my God, it wheels up. I just think there's going to be an awkward beginning to Harris's start. That's all I'm saying. I feel like he's going to struggle a little bit behind that line. I think he has the talent. I think he has I don't hear enough about his hands. He has great hands as a receiver. I think that's why he keeps getting those Le'Veon Bell comps. But I think we do have to understand that he's not going to smash the way we think he is with this offensive line. This offensive line is bad. And everyone shuts up.
I think he'll be just fine.
Eventually, yeah. I just think it's going to
I don't know if I would say, to Dave's point, that I look at any of these guys as an RB5 or better with the other guys in front of him, though. So I guess that's not what I'm shooting for with really any of these running backs, even for the future. I don't think we're supposed to always be able to find a top five running back in every class. That's asking a lot.
You should find an RB1, though, for two guys with round one capital.
I think you should be. But I mean, I'm not looking for. I'll take guys in last year's class ahead of these guys still, you know, but that doesn't. So just because I don't think Harris is going to be, I don't know. I'm taking Harris, Williams, ETN.
Can I ask you a question, Swags?
Absolutely.
What's the difference between DeAndre Swift and Travis Etienne?
What's the difference between them?
Yeah. What's the, like, I think they're pretty similar players, honestly. I don't think Etienne has the wiggle that Swift does, but I think they're very similar players.
And me having I have a better pulse on how I feel Swift's going to be played in that offense. I don't think Swift has as much talent behind him. I know people don't want to hear that, but James Robinson isn't just going away. Last year, Swift was outtouched by Adrian Peterson, and he was still RB20. And that's with missing three games and half of another one. He was still RB20 within that spectrum. And so second year coming into this and knowing that the coach has already said he wants to make him his Kamara, I feel pretty good about it.
So could ETN not finish as an RB20 or better missing three games with getting outtouched by James Robinson?
I don't see your point, though. I mean, could Harris not finish as an RB20 or better, being in that offense without competition in a better organization that we've seen people like James Conner succeed in?
I guess my thing is that I just think that there's a lot of similarities between Swift and ETN, and I think that ETN can win in a lot of similar ways that Swift does. And I wasn't trying to catch you in anything.
You're fine. I'm fine talking about, I guess for me, I've never, even before Swift was on my Lions, I never felt about ETN like I did about Swift or Jonathan Taylor, even before they had landing spots. Like, never did I feel about ETN, Williams, or even Harris like I did about Jonathan Taylor or Swift, even when they were just prospects. So that hasn't changed for me.
In fairness, I don't feel the same way about Swift. I like Swift more than ETN. I just see that kind of upside for ETN that I'm excited about. I didn't think that he would go 25.
I'm not saying he doesn't have upside just because I want Harris before him, though.
Yeah. No. I don't want
to make Javonte Williams before him as well, though, right? He's your third.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think there's a good chance that he starts behind Melvin Gordon. So he doesn't start. Pardon me. I think there's a good chance Melvin Gordon starts the season as the starter there, but you still see Williams as the fantasy producer. I think that Williams went into, again, a better organization that's searching for their quarterback. But you look at the pieces they have around that team, and they're looking for a running back. Then you go to, let's go back to the bad organization that needed a lot of different stuff besides a running back. I don't want that running back as much as the other two. It doesn't mean that I hate ETN. I mean, honestly, I wasn't as high on the prospect coming into this as some people. So that's part of the problem. And then you see him go a little bit early. And sure, he's got the draft capital, but I've noticed that only matters for some players, and other players, we don't care. I don't know, man. I just can't get on board with all of that, or comparing ETN to Swift this early on, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not. I just think as a pass catcher, and I think Swift is more natural pass catcher. Like, you know, I think one of the favorite parts that we all, I think, got excited about when Swift came on is that they targeted him in the last play of that game in the end zone. I know he dropped it, but that was like, I took that as a positive when Swift
got targeted in the end zone. Yeah, I agree.
Even though it dropped it. I think that was actually contrarian at the time.
I'm aware, like, ETN's going to, he already has a connection with Trevor Lawrence. And I think that could be beautiful. I am not trying to shy away from any of this, but I don't know, man. It's funny when we talk about James Robinson, the offensive line is really bad. But when we talk about ETN, we don't talk about that.
I don't think Jags offense is bad.
I've seen that narrative I don't know, man. It's just weird the things you hear and see people say. And
so Swags, I mean, the path to opportunity is definitely better for Williams. I mean, I don't think we have Melvin Gordon on that team next year. So, you know, I think
Williams is also a year younger.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't affect me too much. Just like it shouldn't affect how you feel about Harris, right? Because Harris is the oldest of the group.
Good point. Yeah, so
I'm not really going to go there with the 1 year difference with running backs.
That's totally fair. I agree.
Yeah, but with that being said, I mean, I hear what you're saying. It's funny, Javonte Williams. I felt like so early in the process, probably because of these profiles, but even preparing for the profiles, I was just trying to justify him as the clear cut three. For months, I was trying to like let people and I was really turned on by this guy, and I just felt like he deserved to be in the same tier. And that happened pretty quickly. He pretty quickly became a consensus. Yes, he's in that tier, but he also became, well, he isn't ETN and he isn't Harris, so he's clearly the three. He'll never be the two. Some it doesn't matter what will happen. More. But he is now. You're not the only one that feels this way.
My overall rankings have Williams 9 and ETN 10. So they're right next to each other.
What wide receivers in between?
Just Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase is 8. So it goes Jamar Chase, then Williams, then ETN.
Right.
I have Pitts in front of Chase. All 5 quarterbacks in front of Chase. I go Lawrence, Fields, Lance, Harris, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Pitts, Jamar Chase, Williams, ETN, Waddle.
Well, at least you didn't say Trey Sermon.
Devontae Smith, Rondell Moore, Elijah Moore, Trey Sermon, Terrace Marshall, Rashad Bateman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Dyami Brown, Davis Mills, Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, Pat Freiermuth, Brevin Jordan, Nico Collins, Dwayne Eskridge. That's as far as I've gotten.
Dave, how do you feel about Dyami Brown?
I have him. He's an end of a tier for me, big time. Like once he's off the board, I'm like, oh gosh. I have him above Tyler Wallace now. I don't have like a firm set of rankings right now. I'm still trying to max out because I've only had to draft once, and I had an early draft stop, so I didn't have to really sort these guys out as much. But
I want to like him. I want to move him there. I just don't. The landing spot bothers me a little bit too with Curtis Samuel there, McLaurin.
I have him above Kadarius Toney. I have him.
Oh, Kadarius Toney. Okay.
Yeah, he's right after Terrace Marshall for me. Like that's where he is.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I had Kadir. I'm sorry. He's crossed off for some reason because I use these rankings for our mock. No, but I had Kadarius Toney after Kellen Mond. So still really late compared to, but yeah, so it went Dyami Brown, Davis Mills, Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, then Kadarius Toney, Pat Freiermuth, Brevin Jordan. So much later than you, Finero. I know that just from our little talks we've had.
Yeah.
HQ and stuff. I don't mind Nico Collins' landing spot, though, for opportunity, though. He missed a year, sat the year off for Michigan last year for COVID. Lands in a spot where he could have some decent opportunities. Same with Brevin Jordan. Let's move to the tight ends because Dave hates Brevin Jordan now. I think both these guys land in a spot where they have decent opportunities from their starting quarterback, Davis Mills. And Dave, like, I'm going to throw it to you, but you mentioned draft capital a lot.
Yeah.
Does it change for these players when you think of the fact that their first pick was in the third round and they took care of a need?
For Davis Mills in particular? Yeah.
Yep. Well, and even Brevin Jordan, I think, in like when where he fell to round, here.
Right? He went in the fifth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went really late.
It interesting. I have not thought of that yet. So that honestly was not a consideration for me. Honestly, for some reason, in my head, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to end up in Houston. That's just a weird side note for me, that you have the carryover from New England, a lot of like their front office. And
that's
a good thing
to think about, too. That I mean, there's guys like you said, Jimmy G and Dalton.
So that's in my head a little bit. But I haven't heard a lot of draft content yet talking about like what the coach's reaction to. I have not heard the Houston Texans talk about Davis Mills a lot yet. I want to hear what they like about him. I haven't gotten to that part yet. I'm just trying to slot everyone in, create this rankings, and try to attack these rookie drafts. I mean, doesn't it feel like you guys like the draft was a month ago almost? it's been 5 days, 5-6 days. It feels like it's been a month for me.
It's at least a month ago.
It's at least like 5 or 6 days ago for me.
So I'm just kind of whatever that a political term is of that, you know, trying to talk to think what I'm trying to get my answer.
If you want, you can just tell us how you hate Brevin Jordan.
Yeah, let's just skip to that because I can't think of the term that I was thinking of now.
Filibuster?
Filibuster. Yeah, I was filibustering as I was trying to think about what I would think about Davis Mills and that question twice because I hadn't even thought of that. Finale. So I'm just going to actually skip to Brevin Jordan because the filibuster didn't work.
Thank God.
But I really liked Brevin Jordan beforehand, and to see the NFL pass on a guy from a big school, and just to pass a team after team pass on him just answered all to me. And yes, he has a lot of wide open there, but you know, you still got a couple of names there who actually, you know, there's still some decent names. There's not exactly no tight ends there. Now there's no one that I care about, but
they have a lot.
There's a lot of names there. And I think that's actually how they're doing it. I think they want to bring that New England competition level to it. And they're going to want that best player to get the opportunity. I think that's how they're going to run it. But, Brevin Jordan, I'm not taking Brevin Jordan until the fourth round of rookie drafts.
I wanted to like Brevin Jordan.
Me too. Oh, I had him as my.
I really did. He might be my biggest faller. I really wanted to see him go to the Jaguars.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
That's where I wanted to see him. Or Buffalo. I would have got excited about that. Yeah, I wanted. Yeah, Buffalo. Or Buffalo. Yeah, like those kind of spots. Like, I don't know, man. I hate the draft capital on that. That fifth round, scary as hell. And they, like, you watch the draft, nobody even mentioned Brevin Jordan's name. You heard Hunter Long 25 times before you heard Brevin Jordan once. And it was just like, wow, the NFL hates Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
This is the difference between fantasy and the NFL.
Now we know why nobody wanted to do a player profile on Brevin Jordan.
Sometimes I wish I could just hear why the NFL teams don't like him. Like, I'm not even going to – I shouldn't even say this, but like Darius Geis. Everyone – all these insiders knew those stories about Darius Geis.
Yeah,
and why – I wish that I could just hear some of these insiders. Like, what is the scoop on Brevin Jordan? I don't get it. I don't get the scoop on him. I mean, is it just – is it purely athleticism? Is that all it is?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Like, he's young.
Why do people like Kadarius Toney so much? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah, at the NFL, it's funny like how different that can be sometimes, right? Like we see players go way earlier than we think they should, and it's because the NFL sees a team need, whether that's speed or the ability to play on special teams, or it could be any number of different reasons that just don't fit our agendas as fantasy owners.
Well, how about Pat Freiermuth then? There,
can you guys convince me to like him? Because I'm in a couple situations where he's going to fall in my spot where I think Pat Freiermuth, for example, is right on that fringe of the drop off. That's where I have him, right? Mm-hmm. So right when all these players drop off, that's where Freiermuth exists. I have an opportunity to either move on to next season and get draft picks and not one for ones, like an upgrade, like Swags it, right? I have the opportunity to do that. I have the opportunity to drop back and get 2 seconds for my 1 second. I have lots of things.
The move might be Eric Ebron.
Right. Every single time I look at it, it's giving up Pat Freiermuth. Like every time I look at any of those moves, I know that I'm giving up a whatever, 50%, 60%, 70% chance of Pat Freiermuth. Nobody can guarantee he'll be there. But that's kind of – he's right on that edge. And I want to like him, but I'm concerned for the same reasons that I mentioned my – you know, just like pump the brakes a little bit on Harris is just – Pittsburgh in general. Like I think people really love that landing spot for him. And I'm just kind of concerned about Pittsburgh in general. I have no idea who's throwing him the ball in 2 years. I know that I don't need to care because tight ends go into the garden. I'm not expecting anything year one anyway, but I don't know what the plan is even in Pittsburgh. If they had anybody there to make me a little excited, I would be way more in, you know, because I don't think Juju's even going to be there next year. There's all these talk about Juju being like kind of disgruntled about going and getting a 1 year deal. He should have freaking wound up on Kansas City and really helped our fantasy teams, but whatever.
That would have been nice, yeah.
It would have been really nice. But yeah, so anyway, like I don't know, man. I just feel like we're chasing the old Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. And we're chasing that, and it's why we're here. Rookie fever. It's a real thing.
Make me like Pat Freiermuth, please.
I think that's what you said. It's the opportunity. It's the size. They're like, it's obviously that Pittsburgh has a type. They want those size guys. He's a down the field type attacker. Ebron's not there forever.
Ebron's done after the season. I looked at it. He's definitely gone after the season.
I think that's what it is, man. I think it's Juju's not there. I think you've got the idea is that they get a quarterback in there somehow, and that's how that's the story, is that they know they've been trying to fill that tight end spot for years. It feels
people
like
people hate Vance Zach McDonald. Gentry.
All right. How about this? Nico Collins and Dommy Brown or Pat Freiermuth? You get both. You get Dommy Brown and Nico Collins.
I want
or
the wide receivers.
Right.
I have Brown over Freiermuth.
Right.
Can you make that move?
I think you can. I think Dommy Brown is after that Pat Freiermuth cutoff.
Huh.
I can make that move, right? I can't promise I'm going to get Dommy Brown, but I can get two later second round picks for my 205.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Any other risers or fallers? Anything you guys want to mention before we get out of here?
A big faller for me is Kenny Gainwell. I did not see that bottom falling out all the way to the fifth round. I just did not see that happening with him. That was a shocker. I thought he was a locked in at least third round pick.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And then Miles Sanders.
Yeah. And I don't hate, I mean, there's definitely room for him to succeed in Philly, but that fifth round paired with the fifth round was a shocker for me. Seth Williams was another name. I wasn't like super crazy about him, but he had interesting analytical type stuff to like, decent breakout age, decent production, decent school. There were some things to like about him. And just to like the coach is talking about, oh yeah, he's a special teams guy. That's how the coach is talking about him now. That was just, and then Kylin Hill was another name that kind of fell for me too. Him not going to the seventh round was kind of a shocker for me.
And before we get out of here, I wanted to just do like a running back word of warning message. Something I was looking at last year in the fourth round. And I know this is going to hit you hard, Swags. Fourth round last year, running backs. These are all of them. Joshua Kelly was a fourth rounder. LaMichael Perine was a fourth rounder. McFarland was a fourth rounder. And DJ Dallas was a fourth rounder. This year, people are getting excited about Michael Carter, Ramondre Stevenson, and to be honest, where you're getting them, I'm actually a little interested too, is Chuba Hubbard. But they're all fourth round picks. Third round picks last year, Keyshawn Vaughn and Darrington Evans. This year, Trey Sermon. Just saying.
Yeah.
Be careful.
The only one of those running backs I really have any of though is Joshua Kelly. I was Joshua Kelly and Zach Moss, man. Moss
was the only other third rounder last year, and I left his name off because we don't really still know about Moss. But that's all the third rounders. Moss, Keyshawn Vaughn, and Darrington Evans, and the only third rounder this year was Trey Sermon.
Wow.
And I'm just saying that area is shaky for running backs.
And we even said here early on that there was a possibility that you've seen running backs like ETN go earlier than they normally would in an NFL draft because there weren't as many good running backs. And you could maybe say that for even Harris, to be honest with you. I'm not even trying to, but ETN, I just think was kind of a weird pick for the Jags. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to get back into it, but I feel like that maybe kind of happened. You maybe seen some NFL teams looking for a running back like we are on our fantasy teams. And that starts to worry me a little bit. So
well said. That was well said, actually. Yeah, well said, man.
Just to temper that a little bit, though, like ETN was a little bit of a surprise not coming out last year. We thought he was going to come out, and when we thought he was going to come out, he was being ranked right up with those big guys. So I don't want to devalue the player coming out the next year. I think he was, in all fairness, I think he was up there right with those big ones when he was good. That's why the 2019 class running backs was, or 2020 class, sorry, running backs was supposed to be so amazing is that ETN was supposed to be part of it. It still was amazing even without him, but he was in that group. He was not a whole.
So was Harris.
Right, and so was Harris. So these two players are not just a product of a weak class coming out this season. I think they're just, it's just like the wide receivers, I think it's just top heavy. And I think the real outlook is that the rest of them might just suck. And that's what I'm concerned about.
I don't remember exactly where I saw this, but it's something like the top, there was still the same amount of running backs drafted this year as last year, but there was like almost triple the amount of day one and day two running back picks or like before, like picked. And this year there's only like three or four. It was crazy. Like the different, like how the draft capital split up for running backs this year, just how heavy they were.
There was four running backs picked in the third and fourth round this season. And last season there were eight.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big difference.
Yep. Well, this has been a spectacular show. I think we got through a lot for our listeners, like a lot of names. I hope that you're adding and subtracting from your rosters. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever on the Twitterverse. He is. Who are you, Feverish Fanero?
I am at Aardvark TV, and that guy right there, that's FF underscore Spaceman, still lowercase, I believe, though.
That's me.
Some places that's... I see, like, it's uppercase today for us to see.
Oh, nice.
He's uppercase here.
Welcome to the uppercase, David.
It just says you for me on my screen.
Just change it to you.
I could have gone for another hour.
We're just going to sign off and leave Dave here, record another show.
Nene, or whatever his name, Nene Nwagadu, he was a riser too. He came out of nowhere for me.
Javian Hawkins, UDFA, Atlanta. Remember that name.
That's a good one too, yeah. I like it. He knew he was signing somewhere where he could have an opportunity.
Yeah, that's the opportunity right there. I don't know, man. There's some of these vets like that might get cut that wind up on a team too, messing stuff up.